So am I. And I won't be editing it out in post.
Hymn number 29 in the wee black books, if you'd like to take and turn there and join with me as we sing this extended version of Precious Lord, Take My Hand. Amen.
Land. morning's reading is from the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 12, and reading the first 9 verses. Genesis chapter 12. Now the Lord said unto Abraham, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, and into a land that I will show thee. I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curse thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abraham was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abraham took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. And Abraham passed through the land of the place of Shechem, unto the plain of Moreh, and the Canaanite was then in the land. The Lord appeared unto Abraham and said, Unto thy seed will I give this land. And there built he an altar unto the Lord, who appeared unto him. And he removed from thence unto a mountain in the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent from Bethel on the west and Hai on the east. And there he built an altar unto the Lord, and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abraham journeyed, going on still toward the south. Amen.
Thank you.
And that's very good verses there, especially verse number 3, where this is the promise of God to you and I, that if we bless Israel, that God will bless us. But if we curse Israel, God will curse us. I don't know about you, but everybody that I know wants to spend their eternity with God. So why would you do something that would bring his curse upon you? There's 2 promises that I know of in the Bible that are for everybody. One is that if you honour your mother and father, your days will be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. And the other is this one. That if you bless Israel, you'll be blessed of God. And if you curse Israel, you'll be cursed of God. Never, they were never revoked. They stand to this very day. And I think if you check back in history, you will see everyone that set their face against Israel has always come in second. Amen. Thank you for that, Norman. I appreciate the Bible reading as always. I just want to take a minute or two and remind you of our prayer list, and ask if there are any extra prayers that need to go on to this. Any extra prayer? Everybody's good. Grand job. I don't think we have any extra prayers. Don't forget Frank and Colin and Pat and Steve and John, not with us this morning. Please do pray for them. Does anybody have any private prayer requests? Okay, thank you. Thank you very much. Anybody got any thanks? Bob, do you anything for anybody this week that you'd like to let us all know about?
Well, yes, they will.
Good weather. Good weather for traveling. Do you have something, Lynn?
You're in trouble.
That's what I like to hear. No bothers. Did you get your tires sorted out?
Yeah, I don't have any pump and all the 4 tires. So maybe keep that for another 3 days and check again.
That's okay. I pumped all my tires up as well, so I'm okay. I want to thank the Lord. I was able to do a fair bit of lifting and carrying on Friday, and then I came down here yesterday afternoon after it was 3:30. About 3:30 after getting the notes ready for today, and I was able to spend about 2.5 hours cutting grass and hedges. Forgive my hedge cutting skill. It looks like, I don't know, whenever someone has a bad haircut, you say it looks like they were pulled through a hedge backwards. And that hedge looks like it was pulled through a mark backwards. It's a bit rough and ready, but it'll look neater the next time around. I also trimmed the grass a little bit around the side, so hopefully that'll make life a bit easier whenever you're coming and going. And I think it was about 1 foot long in some places, so I took a few runs in the mower, but I was able to get there and able to be here this morning, which is good. Otherwise, I think that's about that. I would ask that you would continue to pray for our countries, especially for Israel at this particular time. We're commanded to pray for the peace of Israel. And do indeed pray for those that walk in the corridors of power, that the right things be said and done, that God would make good on his word to oppose those that hate all that's good and proper. You need to understand something as well. As a Bible-believing, born-again Christian, we are adopted into the promises made to the Jews. And that means people that hate and curse Christians are in the same boat as those that hate and curse the Jews. So bear that in mind. God loves you and wants the very best for you. He wants friends and family saved, or at least given the opportunity to be saved. But he wants you to have power and peace and assurance in this life as you go through. The Lord knows all the other things that we have in our hearts and minds. And he's good. He knows all those things. He's not. If anybody watched Star Wars, ever seen it? The Force is not something that. The Force is something you can manipulate in Star Wars, but God is not someone that you can manipulate here. He will do his will. The best thing to do is align yourself with. Anyway, before we get into our first sermon of the morning, let's have a word of prayer and sing another song or two. Will, if you would, brother, would you pray for us?
Heavenly Father, thank you for praying yesterday and this day. We offer love, Lord, and we are cheerfully glad that you will be also be with us, God. This Spirit, Lord, let us do the scriptures today, Lord, and through Mark, and guide them as well for us. And still something with yourself and your Spirit, Lord, we see, guide us through the work of God, illuminating us in order to give new insights into your being and into your personality, Lord, and your promises and your love towards us. We really just understand your Son died for our sins, Lord. This was my pathway. I went to the tracking line through the doors yesterday, a beautiful woman to talk to, and may she hear the word of the gospel, Lord. Keep her alive, Lord, that she may know the word of the gospel, Lord, and save her soul by the pathway as well, Lord. Lift our Lord, as well, in all the houses, mighty and pathway. And guide us, well, Lord, perfect them, and help, pursue them to read the gospel tract that we're putting in his hand, Lord. Save her soul mighty and pathway as well, Lord, in that area where was tracked yesterday, previous months, and previous years, Lord. Save her soul mighty and pathway, Lord. We've asked God, we've Paul, we've Frank, we've Steve, Lord, we've Catherine as well, Lord, and John Matt as well, Lord. Help my name, Parthy, keep it safe and well, Lord, and do my church at the point of time, Lord. Save those that are unsaved, Lord, my name, Parthy as well, Lord. Give us a kiss, Lord, and take away any of the thoughts of the world, Lord, of our lives, Lord, our stresses, Lord, take it away, Lord, and still some of yourself, Lord, and give us your songs. And bear our worship be honorable and I say, Lord, and Lord, give us a kiss, Jesus Christ again.
Amen. Thank you, Will. We are switching books now to the big black book. And we're going to sing number 2 in the big black book. Hymn number 2. Well, we're going to see that as we sing. This one's called Glory to His Name. Hymn number 2, Glory to His Name.
Cleansing from sin I hide, bent in my heart.
late, but it's good to hear that one again. Here's one that you might have heard once or twice before. It's 233. 233 in the big hymn book. If you're able, would you stand with me as we sing Tell Me the Old Old Story? There you go. And then you'll get to sit and rest for a minute or two. Tell Me the Old Old Story.
Jesus, I
Speaking of that old, old story, we are going to be reading in John chapter 14 this morning. John chapter 14. We're going to read about 29 verses of this portion of God's Word. John chapter 14. It's good to see each one of you here. I hope and pray you're all well. Reports so far have been good, and I hope they continue for a long time. Please do pray for me. I will be visiting some friends in Belfast on Saturday and calling in with my dad on Friday. So I would appreciate your prayers as I travel then. Forgot to mention that earlier on. We pray for safety on the roads. I think there's supposed to be a 90% chance of rain most of today. John McGowan's the only one out in faith this morning in a short sleeves shirt. The rest of us have all got coats and jackets on. Amen. Amen. John chapter 14. The Word of God says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go ye know, and the way ye know." Thomas said unto him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" And Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him, and have seen him." Philip saith unto him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us." And Jesus saith unto him, "Have I been so long with you, and yet thou hast not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the work. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye shall see me. Because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, "Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, and not unto the world?" And Jesus answered and said unto him, "If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and shall bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If you loved me, you would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, you might believe. Stop at verse 29. I know there's only two more verses there, but I appreciate your patience and I'm not going to strain it in. Now, speaking on the subject of which way, although there are a multitude of topics we could be speaking about from this portion of God's Word, which way? Which way? Let's have a word of prayer and then we will continue. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, again for this opportunity to be in your Word, for being able to sing those good old songs. And I pray, Lord, that you would be one of our number, that you would help us and teach us as we take this time in your Word. Thank you for loving us. Please bless Israel. Please bless those that bless and love her. And Father, I pray you, don't be done with us, Lord. Keep working in us and on us and through us. And we, Lord, use this, Lord, to lift us up or to keep our feet on the ground, Lord, to comfort us, to give us portions of wisdom, to help us, Lord, to give us our daily bread. Please be with our brothers and sisters across the world who even now are sitting down and preparing to receive the engrafted word, Lord. And maybe only getting up out of their beds and getting ready, Lord, to get ready for church. Or wherever the will is done, Lord, I pray that you would bless those that take part. We love you and thank you. Amen. I am sure all of us are unfortunately old enough to have come across these verses, I am sure, at least one funeral. Many times these words at the very, very start, the ones that, of course, our text will be taken from, they're used as a form of comfort to those that are left behind whenever a loved one has gone home. But they are more than that. Yes, they are a comfort for those that are left behind, but they're also full of helps and promises and even prophecy. Not just for the day of the passing away of a loved one, but for every single day of our lives. I'm not going to do a blow-by-blow account of all that we have read, but I would like to bring you some highlights. First of all, in the first few verses, we have a promise of God's faithfulness to you and me. To those his children, God said, I'm coming back. I'm coming back to get you. Says, I go to prepare a place for you, and I will come again. And towards the very tail end of our reading, he said exactly the same thing again, that he is coming back. I am sure there are many souls that have stepped off into an eternity loving him and met him in heaven before he meets with us on the earth. But either way, the Lord will meet us all again. As we read on, we see the most contentious verse in the Bible. The one that is guaranteed to rub everybody that doesn't and trust in Jesus Christ for their salvation, for their eternal life, and of course then for this life right now, this is the most contentious verse. Because Jesus plainly states, I am, and that's one of the names of God, the great I am, not me, but this is Jesus, the way, which is a singular definite article, the way, the truth, and the life. In other words, doing things God's way is the best way and the only way that works on every level. As far as, if you consider just for a second that God doesn't say there's many ways to get to heaven. He says, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He said, there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. A lot of people think there are many ways to heaven and will aspire to live their lives like that, but the Bible says there's only one. And for me to say that, that means, first of all, it's Jesus' good work that gets to heaven. This is the premise of the Bible, that the Lord calls everybody, sadly only a few will ever answer, and when they put their faith in his work alone for the saving of their souls, then they will be saved. In Romans 10 it said, if you confess with your lips the Lord Jesus, speak, and believe in your heart God has raised you or him from the dead, then you'll be saved. That's the premise of the Bible. It's a faith in Christ's finished work. Now many people, myself included in my formative years, believe that I had to do the best I can. And that is not the case. Most other faiths, I think every other faith, is full of things that you and I need to do to get to their version of eternity. Bible-believing Christianity gives everyone a fair share. The Lord, as we read on, he tells us, or gives us the acid test for knowing if the things that he said are real or not. He says, the words are good. It is, generally speaking, as Peter said, Lord, where else would we go? You have the words of eternal life. The words are good. But it is the effect that the words have in our hearts and minds and what it causes us to do with our hands and where it takes us with our feet that is the real acid test. Jesus said, yes, you might not want to believe my words, but look at my works and judge for yourself. And what did Jesus do? He never took money from anybody. Judas Iscariot held the bag. As one of the other apostles noted, he was a thief. He didn't have a roof over his head. What did he say to the messengers of Herod? The birds of nests and the foxes of the earth, they have holes in the earth. But the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. And yet he spoke. And the common people heard him gladly because he spoke to them of the real issues of life. He saved people's lives. He fed the 5,000. He commanded the weather. Even the animal kingdom was subject to him. Believe the works. That's exactly what people will do regarding yourself. They will believe not necessarily the words that you speak, but the works that you do. So in a way, we need to not only speak for God as Christians, but believe for God. God gives us a bit of a test, and that doesn't mean he's going to ask questions. It's something that we can use to measure our Christian life. Do we keep God's commandments? And I'm not just talking about the 10 commandments. There are 16 commandments. over 600, I think there's about 616 commandments. And they go from the 10 of the moral law to the other 600 that give you commandments on your clothes and your food, even on the walls of your houses. So the Lord said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And one of the first commandments that the Lord gave as part of his ministry in John 3 was to Nicodemus. Nicodemus, you must be born again. Otherwise, you'll not even see the kingdom of heaven. Must keep. And it's very hard to do that. I remember in Drumahoe speaking to a man one day at his door. You know all the houses that go up the hill that overlook the foil? And he said, I tried keeping the commandments years ago, and I couldn't do it. Because for a man that is not going home to heaven, there's no point in keeping the commandments. You're not planning on seeing the God whose commandments they are. But for a soul that is going to heaven and knows they're going to heaven, it's a joy to keep God's commandments. But it can also be a bit of a struggle, because keeping God's laws flies in the face of many of the laws of this world. Jesus said, do this, and you can only do it if you're a saved soul. And your father and I, we will keep you company until the day we see you face to face. And he goes on and says, we're actually going to leave you the Holy Spirit to help you with the rest of your life. You know that friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Then as we go on towards the end of this little portion of God's Word, we see one of the great acid tests of the Bible. He said in verse number 29, I have told you these things so that when they happen, you'll know that I am God. In other words, I have told you before it come to pass, that when it comes to pass, you might believe. And you might think, well, wasn't that successful? Judas Iscariot was a traitor. He went and betrayed the Lord. He wasn't talking to Judas Iscariot. He was talking to his people, to his children. And he wasn't just talking about this line or two of text that we have read. He was talking about the whole Bible. And so much of it is coming true right now in our lives. That was written in the book 2,000 plus years ago, that it's literally impossible for this book to exist. If it was written by men, this is impossible. But the fact that it was inspired by God, and he mentions things that made no sense to these people back then, and said write it down, but as we look at them today, we can say, hey, that's talking about Google. That's talking about mobile phones and modern computational power that we all carry in our pockets. That's talking about the weapons of our warfare. That's talking about the effects of thousands of years of drifting away from God has on society. Hey, that's even talking about our churches, because a lot of the guys in churches are not interested in the people in the congregation, they're only interested in themselves and how much money is in the plate and what they can get out of it. They're not interested. And all of these things and more are in the Bible, most especially Israel being scattered and brought back together again. It happened once, about 2,000 years ago, they were scattered, and it happened once, 76 years ago, when they were brought back together again. And God put these things in here so that we can say, hold on a second. There must be more to this book than just the writings of a few madmen. That's a little bit of Bible study and a few thoughts. But we want to get on to the subject and concentrate on the text where the Lord said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I don't know if you have noticed, but many people live in many different ways. There are, I don't know how many alternate lifestyles there are out there. And I'm not even talking about the LGBT movement. I'm talking about people living for sports, or people living for keep fit, or for money, or for property, or for good looks, or, and here I am, and I got all of those things. Two people thought it was funny. But all of them have one thing in common. Three. All of them exclude God from their lifestyles. And all of them, without exception, lead to a bad, pathetic end. And I wouldn't want that for anybody that I'm ever speaking to. And so we ask the question then, what way should we be living? And the only way in the whole of the world that gives everybody, regardless of their genetics or their talents or their bank account or their geographical location, the only way that gives everybody a fair shake is God's way. Most of the other ways look down their noses at anybody that's different. And in certain parts of the world, wouldn't even think twice about killing people that are different. That is the Islamic faith. People that don't, that aren't Muslims are dogs. And the Bible says, the Quran says in a number of the surahs quite explicitly that the Christian and the Jew are to be opposed and killed. Don't just get, and, or even one of the Hindu goddesses, Kali, the goddess of the thuggee cult, who believe in the ritual strangulation of strangers as part of their worship. So if you ever see a church devoted to the goddess Kali, do not go visiting. It doesn't bode well for new congregants. So when are we supposed to live for God? Well, all the time. I would hope that once you see it, the Bible says you're a new creature all the time. So whenever God comes back, he finds you as his new creature. And he doesn't come back whenever you're not being a Christian and you don't go to heaven. But once you're saved, God keeps you in the palm of his hand and nobody can take that away. I don't know if you've noticed, but living as a Christian can be difficult. You can't be keeping company with drunkards and whoremongers and drug users. And you can't be calling them your brethren anymore. By all means, you may have a call to minister to them and to preach to them, but you're not going to look to them for advice. You're not going to look to them for camaraderie or fellowship, because all that they're going to have on their minds is the slaking of their lusts and their pleasures. It's difficult. We need something more, and we have that through Christ Jesus, the overcoming power of God, to live different life, a clean life, a life that is pleasing to God. Very much the parable of the mustard seed, different from all of the other plants of the forest, but grows up into a great tree, and the birds of the air come and make their nest in it, just like they do the other trees. And it is different, but the end result is families, is work, and a walk with God. Best way to do it is by just doing things whenever God calls you and doing it in his time and his way. Yes, there are many bad examples of Christians out there. Most of them appear on the TV. I'm sure we could probably point to one or two in our own lives. And people are made to think that things don't work out well for Christians, that everything will work out for the best anyway. And that's not true. The Bible says in Romans 8 that things will only work out for the best whenever you do things God's way, and that's it. There are no other ways. There is no other way for things to work out for the best, because in our short-sightedness, we see this. The things that we can put our hands upon. This is what we see. We see things on the internet from the far side of the world, but they are still things that we can put our hands on. The Bible teaches us that this right now, this 70, this 80, this 90, this 100 years, sadly maybe a lot shorter than that 70, that's only the start of our lives. There is an eternity to live, which most people never consider. I want to give you a few things that the world will try and teach you and drag you away with. I want to follow my heart. Do you know how many people's lives I have seen destroyed by people following their hearts? The Bible says in Jeremiah 17 that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. It changes like that. One day you could be feeling like yesterday, I didn't really feel like coming down to cut the grass at the church. I had done a fair bit of work the day before, and I could still feel my, as a fella says, my aching bones. But then I thought, you know what? I could cut this grass. That frees up the rest of the week for me, and that's a worry off of my mind. And so I went and cut the grass because it was the right thing to do. Another one is my truth. My truth is just a modern variation of the foundational satanic teaching of do what thou wilt, so be the whole of the law. And it seems pretty good until somebody else doing what they want, doing what they wilt, impinges upon you doing what you wilt. And either you or they lose out, and your belief system comes crashing to the ground. What about the government will look after me? Really? Our government? Our government is anti-family. It is anti-Christian. It is anti-patriotic. And it is very much anti what's good for you as far as their practices and their advice go. I honestly believe if there was an honest to goodness zombie outbreak and the government announced it on TV and people were running through the streets eating each other, people wouldn't believe it because of the lies that the government has told us. They are not your friend. This is an anti-Christian government that we have in a so-called Christian country. They hate us. Another one is, my minister or my church, my membership will save my soul. In other words, I can do whatever I like, and he will preach me into heaven. He'll cover, he'll pick up all the pieces at my funeral. Or a little bit of what I fancy, all things in moderation. The Bible talks about letting your moderation be known to all men. That doesn't mean a little bit of what you fancy. That means controlling yourself and staying away from things that are harmful. You know the way people, I like to indulge myself from time to time. I would like to indulge myself as well, but there'd be a trail of bodies behind me. Does that make it okay? Is it okay to have relations with those that I lust after, or steal from those that have money or something that I want, or spend money on stuff that I don't need or can't afford? Are those things right? Of course they're not. But yet and all, there is much encouragement to indulge in that lifestyle. I suppose the ones that really do show above the water, the 10% of the icebergs is the drug and the alcohol abuse. And unfortunately, I have seen the end result of that time and time again in the hospital. It's not pretty. People that can't walk, people that need an oxygen bottle just to breathe, can't even enjoy their dinner anymore, and their bodies are rotted and done. It's not good. And of course we have the keep fitters. This always kills me. I haven't been up at the present link, and I would like for you to pray about that. I have to get that organized again. But the number of times I've been up at the Crescent Lake, and I would park as far away from the shops as I can, so that people can't complain about the megaphone being too loud. And I see people trying to find the closest parking space to the Keep Fit place. Instead of parking up beside me and walking or even jogging down to it, they will cruise around looking for the closest parking space. I always find that very, very funny. Your Keep Fit ethos is not very good if it can't help you walk a couple of hundred yards to your car. Yes, there are benefits to looking after yourself and eating right and resting right, but they won't save your soul. And even at that, you're a man that was super fit in his youth, came up through the military, had a history of martial arts, but he pushed it too far, and he hurt himself so badly that he was told by the doctors that he was retired, I think in his 40s. Doesn't the nth degree, the end result of these things does not work well. The Lord give us things that really, really count. And the first of it all is the salvation of your soul. And the Bible says time and time again, only Jesus can do that. The second one is the assurance of your salvation, the confirmation in the Bible that it's not up to you to keep your salvation. It is up to God. He says in John 10, I give unto them, that's you and me, eternal life, and they, that's us, shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. That's what Jesus said. Do you know the difference that made to me as a Christian? I realized that all the time that I had been trying to balance the books and keep myself in God's hand, he had been doing that all the time, and I had been wasting years of my life. God keeps you, and that peace that he gives you, the peace that you have, that's like the solid rock you can start building instead of trying to fill in the solid rock. My goodness. Something that we have that lost souls don't have is being able to talk to God about everything. You can talk to God about everything. In fact, there's a promise there for you. In Philippians 4, it says, be careful for nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God that passeth all understanding will keep your heart and mind through Jesus Christ. Tell God everything. Not some fellow who then has leverage on you, or even your best friends. Tell God everything. And it's not just about getting it off your chest. Even tell him the bad things, the things that you desire, things that you lust after, the people that you hate. And it won't be before too long you will find saying those things in God's presence is like pricking a boy and letting the poison out. He'll be saying, he'd say the same thing to you as he said to Peter. Ye know not what spirit ye are of. Remember when Peter said, should we call fire down on those people that rejected you? And Jesus says, that's not the way Christians are supposed to be. And he said the same thing to you. But more than that, he'll give you the power to get over it. He also said, you should have a Bible, and you should read it, and you should think about it, and you should memorize bits out of it, and you should tell other people about it. And there's everything in it that you and I need to know about God. How to approach him, how to continue with him and walk with him, and what makes God happy and what doesn't make God happy. I am sure every child in the face of this world would have loved one of those Peter and Jane books that says how to make mommy and daddy happy. And it would save themselves a lot of thick ears and sore behinds because they obeyed their mom and dad. Some people might say, well, it's just the writings of man. That is not what the Bible claims for itself or demonstrates to us today. It says it's given by the inspiration of God. And it's profitable, good for us, for doctrine, for a wag finger, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. These are the things that God has given us, so that we can grow in Christ, so that we can stand and not be dependent on drugs or alcohol or tobacco or money or houses or gadgets or people or all of the things that are out there in the world, but that we could depend upon Him. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 is a great little verse, and it says, other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. And then it goes on to say, let every man be careful how he builds the rest. That is what we need. We need Jesus Christ and His way of doing things. One of the probably silliest but simplest examples of that from my own life was, 25 years ago, whenever I was working in Desmond's, there was a young fellow there about the same age as me who was as sarcastic as me and quick-witted as me, but wasn't saved like me. And every time that he would come into the office, we would take jibes at each other. And it used to annoy me, because he was a nice enough fella. And I remember saying to God, God, how come Eddie and I can't get on? And God says, it's because he's just like you and he doesn't have me. So let him have his jibe at the start or his smart crack and let it go and see what happens. And I did that. And Eddie and I got on grand after that. There was no animosity. There was no constant low-level bickering or swipes at each other. We do things that God asks us to do, that God reveals to us in His Word, things that will work out for the best. It's not a popular message, because at every turn, we are told to follow our aspirations, to encourage our talents, and some of those are not a bad thing. But as Christians, as those that have thrown their lot in with Christ, that have trusted in His finished work, we are new creatures. We have a new diet. We have a new eternal habitat. We should be seeking new company. We have the friend closer than the brother. And the dross and the filth and the hatred and the anger and the murders and adulteries and lies of the world should not sit well in any son or daughter of the King of Kings. Anyone remember the two birds that Noah released from the ark? Anyone remember what they were? One was a raven, and the other one was a dove. I don't know if you've noticed the difference in diets between a raven and a dove. Ravens will eat anything. If you had them trained well enough, they would eat the finest steak out of your hand. They would take and break open and eat an egg that was left on the ground. They'll even eat bread that you throw out. But you know what they'll also eat? They'll eat the weak old rotten carcass of an animal that was hit by a car on its way down the road. And they will enjoy it. Dogs don't do that sort of thing. Remember, the raven went out and never came back.
because it found an old corpse floating in the water probably and just hopped onto it and thought it was in heaven. The dove went out and didn't find anything to rest upon. And it came back to Noah. As new creatures in Christ, the only way that pleases God and is good for us, it doesn't feel like it at the time. Have you ever tried going on a diet and quitting chocolate or lemonade or something like that? What does your body say? I want my chocolate and my lemonade. Do you not think it also will want alcohol or drugs or immorality? Of course it will. But God will help you with that if we let him. He will help us with that if we let him. You ever hear the old saying, my way or the highway? That is quite literally what God is saying. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And he said that because we need that. Not to make himself greater. You're not going to get any greater than an infinite God. One more person worshiping and thanking him is not going to make him greater. But it will make that person greater. And that's what God wants for us. Folks, God bless you. Thank you very much for your good time and attention this Sunday morning. And your patience. I do appreciate them all. Let's close our hymn books, our Bibles, and open our hymn books. And if you would, turn with me to, not too far away from Tell Me the Old Road Story, and turn to 234. 234, and it is, should be the desire of every Christian to realize this. He is so precious. If you're able, let us stand as we sing hymn number 234, He is so precious.
Praise all the King of glory, from turn I sing.
mentioned this morning, God's richest blessings as you go home in safety, I pray. And I look forward to seeing you again very, very soon. Let's close your eyes and we'll be dismissed with a wee prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time in your house and in your word and in the company of like-minded souls. I pray you, Lord, for your good hand upon us and upon our brethren across the world. Whenever they finish their services, that you would see them safely home and back at the next appointed time. Let us not forget the things that you've done for us, Lord, and the things that you have for us. Lord, we love you and thank you. We ask all of these things, of course, our private prayer requests, petitions as well, and for Israel, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and according to your will. Amen. Folks, God bless you. Shake hands and fellowship for a little bit. We are dismissed.